to pray, right? And then we can just get started, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for today. Thank you for your awesomeness. Thank you because you are God and you are good and you're just amazing in your ways, God. Thank you because this is not about me. This is not even about hearing me. This is about you and your will being done. It's about you giving us light tonight on what your will is concerning marriage, what your will is concerning a godly relationship, what your will is concerning courtship. And God, thank you because as we just listen to your word tonight, it'll be you speaking directly to our hearts. It'll be you giving us light on what to do and how to do it. So we just trust your Holy Spirit to have your way. We trust you to be God and just do what only you can do. And Lord, I thank you for ministry angels who are here to minister to your children tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ella, I know you've not introduced yourself. You told me your network is not really good. But you can just put in the chat box for everyone, if that is okay with you. So I can just read it out. Okay. Ella, your network receives, what can I say now? We speak life to your network in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Hi, everyone.
Okay, awesome.
It's going in and out, and that's why I was trying to not, trying to manage bandwidth here.
Okay.
My name is Emanuela, and I am currently in Edmonton, Canada. What do I like to do? I've been told of recent that one of my favorite things, which is sleeping, is not exactly a hobby. So I like to watch movies. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hoping to get from this session is clarity.
Okay.
I would want to know how best to sieve out the weeds from the seed, know how to be more intentional in the people I am looking to go into a relationship with, and know exactly what would be helpful for me or what I need rather than what I would want.
Mm-hmm.
And how to be able to make that distinction and make that decision. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Ella. That's spot on. Thank you. Okay, so awesome. More people are still joining. So while people are joining, I'll just go ahead and say a few things, right, before I welcome our hosts, who, by the way, I'm so excited for you guys to meet and just hear us speak. Like, no, you literally hear God speaking to you and, you know, addressing the issues or the questions that you have in your heart. And if you have any questions, just for the sake of orderliness, you can just put it in the chat box for me. If you have anything that you want to say, just put it in the chat box for me. So I think first of all, I'll just go right ahead to say, just give a brief testimony, right, of myself and my relationship with God and just marriage. Because for me, I'm very particular in people finding how God wants them to marry, right? I'm not going to talk a lot about that because, of course, that's why our guest of honor is here. But for me, let me just give you people small gist, right? So when I was in UI, when I was doing my undergrad, I had my spec. I was like, oh, this is how I want my boo to be like. He must have six packs. I went to secondary school, right? I remember that time in secondary school, we talked about, he must have six packs. He must have muscles. He must do this. He must do that, right? He must be handsome, like the Jason Derulo kind of handsome, cute. I know some of you might say, oh, Jason Derulo is not really handsome, but it was my kind of handsome then. And so when I got into university, I was like, okay, let's see. I was already a believer, quite all right. I was already a believer, not issue there. But I was like, I have my list, so the guy must meet the criteria, right? So there was this person who maybe not really met the list, but my requirement, but I liked him. I loved him, or so I thought I loved him. you know. But I remember then clearly, I was just growing my relationship with God because I just gave my life to Christ then. But God was like, you know, I was hearing all these red alerts, it's not the one for you, that's not the one. And I know in my heart questions about, Kenny, how do I know who God will have me marry? How did you hear it? But don't worry, that's one of the things Tim will be speaking about today, okay? So, but I was like, oh God, this man is fine. At least he's a Christian. Is that not the main thing? He's a Christian. He said we should not be unequally yoked. I'm not unequally yoked. He's a Christian. That's it. So I went ahead, right? But when I really started growing in my relationship with God, when I started learning more about who God really is, I remember that time I started going to a church I used to go to in Nigeria then, GLT. And that was where they were really teaching about God loves you. There's no condemnation in Christ. God loves you. God desires to, you know you more and just shower you with his love. And I was just growing my relationship with God quite all right. Every time I was praying or studying my Bible, I would hear it clearly, like bang, bang, bang in my ears, like, Kenny, end the relationship. But my, oh Lord, I cannot. He's my boo, he's the apple of my eyes, he's I love him. God, I cannot break his heart. He's the one for me. Right? That was just what was in my mind. But every time I stopped praying or I was not studying my Bible, I'm like, God, if he's a Christian, that's the main thing. So I remember I told someone that time, I told someone who was like a big sister to me in the faith, and said, this is what I'm going through. Like whenever I'm reading the scriptures or this or that, I'll hear it clearly, don't. And I found out that at that time, I was growing my relationship with God, but I was feeling kind of stagnant, right? Because the person, he was just like, I'm a Christian, that's all matters. Meanwhile, I was just eating everything I was getting from God's word, you know, praying in tongues and doing all that, which he was doing, but it was like, I can't be bothered in this life. So I remember I told my sister in the Lord, who is a big sister to me, even till now, and she was like, okay, where is your phone? I'm like, this is my phone. So I'm like, okay, well, yeah, where's the person's number? I was like, what's she trying to do? And then she was like, call him. I'm like, I should call him. She was like, call him. And she was like, oh yeah, break up with him. Don't worry, when you're done breaking up with him and you want to cry, I'll be right here. Come and cry to me. Come and cry. You know, and I was like, I cannot do it. She was like, Kenny, at the end of the day, what would you want to live your life thinking? That you answered God, that you obeyed God, or that you wanted to do your heart desire, and at the end of the day, you're going to regret it. And so I ended up saying, I'm sorry, I cannot do this again. I broke up the relationship. I felt bad because I felt like I was a heartbreaker. But I mean, I felt it was something God was prompting me to do. And you know the funny thing? I'm not a bad person, but once I ended the relationship, I felt light-weighted. I did not feel any regret. I felt, that was how I felt. And I'm actually very happy. I remember God's word to me that it was like, Kenny, I'm going to give you a man after my own heart. That was what he said. And I held on to that word. And even my husband now, we're not perfect people. We are definitely flawed people, but I just like that I listen to God and we built our relationship on God, which is one of the things TMA also spoke about in her book, is God as the builder. Like you trusting God and saying, God, I'm going to do this with you, right? I don't want to just go ahead and just say, okay, any guy. No, you know me more than myself. What are you saying? You know my destiny. I just think I know myself, but you know me more. You know, the Bible says that he fashioned us in our mother's womb. He knows your beginning, your end. He knows who will be good for you. The person might not be perfect, definitely. But, you know, just trusting God and God just trusting his leading has saved me from a lot of heartache. Saved me from a lot of kanipe, honestly. And one thing I just realized, and I'm just going to hint here, is that God is not just interested in our salvation. God is not just interested in you having healing. God is interested in you enjoying your marriage, enjoying life. Because for me, I always say, marriage is forever. Marriage is forever. God doesn't want us to endure our marriage. He wants us to enjoy our marriage. And it is real. It's not mystical. Sometimes I go on social media, people are like, there's no real men. Men are scum. Women are... Mm-mm. See, when you follow God's leading for your life, you are not going to miss it. And there's a possibility that that person will be perfect, which I said I'm not going to talk about much about because I trust God to speak through TMA on that issue tonight, okay? So, like I'll say again, God's desire is for you to enjoy your marriage. It's for you to, you know, follow Him, follow His leading. It might not be, your spec might not be His spec. And I think that's another myth that would be made to believe is that God's will for you will not be fine. You'll just be jacku looking. No, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Your boo that God has for you will not be jacku looking. No, we trust God to have His way, okay? So with that being said, I'm just going to talk a bit about TMA. You know, I'm just going to introduce her, read her bio, and then have her come here and do everything that she wants to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. So TMA, let me tell you the meaning of TMA. TMA is the Mrs. Aaron. Her husband is the Mr. Aaron, right? Her name is Doreen Omosele, but we call her TMA. TMA, let me put you here. Let me put you right here beside me so you can see your face. Hi, TMA. So we call her the TMA, the Mrs. Aaron, right? She's a young woman who is living and working in purpose. And our mission by the help of God is just to raise ladies who seek God intimately. You know, ladies who desire God and who desire to know Him intimately. And so TMA, as you know, before now, she used to live a purposeless life, right, and battled with several abuse and addictions until she found God's love, which led to her life being transformed. You see what I say about God's love? It's awesome. So currently, TMA is the president of When Ladies Gather, and she's the founder of the Blossom Girls Network, where she reaches out to sex workers in Nigeria. Because I know about, you know, TMA, you've held some programs which, you know, you shared on your social media that I also know about. So TMA is a bestseller author, you know, and that's why we are doing the book tour, right? The book is called Before You Say Yes. She's a transformational, inspirational speaker. This is not hypo. It's the truth. It's not, when I say it's not hype, I mean, I know it's not hype, but don't worry, you get to know soon. And she's a Bible teacher who uses words with simplicity to transform lives. TMA is married to a covenant friend, Aaron Omosele. Oh my God. And they have a baby together now. Glory to God. And they are together fulfilling purpose. So, hello TMA. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. It's afternoon, right?
Yeah, afternoon / evening.
All right, so can I see us wave our hands if you can hear me? If you're ready to receive God's word to, I might be saying tonight, today, don't mind me, it's night here in Nigeria. All right, so if you're ready to learn how to know the man God will have for you, can I just see you wave your hands or say something on the comment section? Where's everybody? All right. Okay. I see you guys. I see you. All right. Okay. So, thank you so much, Kenny. Hey, Jill Mungisa. Is she the one from Uganda? She's the one from Uganda?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Wow, good to see you. Good to hear from you. All right. I'm really excited about what God will be doing today with us. Before we start, can we just appreciate God wherever we are? Can we just say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for life. Thank you, Father, for 2020. Thank you, Father, for 2021. Thank you, Father, for this meeting. I mean, I will tell you, and I can tell you that this meeting was, you know, specifically set because of you. You know, I remember I was pregnant then, and I was just meditating, and this idea just came, a virtual book tour, and, you know, God just set everything up, you know, brought Kenny on. But I mean, this meeting, if you're here, God has you in mind, is mindful of you. I want us to say, Father, thank you for this program. Thank you, Father, for bringing me to this meeting. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we're giving God thanks. Amen. All right. So we can communicate, so since we're not so, yeah, we can say amen since we're not so many, so we can mute our mics. I don't mind. We can unmute our mics so that, you know, we can just all, you know, all gist and all. Oh, you guys want to, let's unmute our mics. Amen. Because I would love to interact with us. I'm just going to assume we're like in a breakfast meeting. Wow. And then before I start, I want to appreciate our beautiful host. I mean, babe, you are fine. Say your husband for my favorite bride prize again, no. You must come and pay bride price again.
Right? No, I'll tell you.
All this other, when God said there's no marriage in heaven. No. In fact, sometimes I just be like, Jesus, why did you have to say that?
Honestly.
You know, like, you know, my husband will say, he said that we can have rest. That you women, you push drama coming too much. You know, so many things. A friend of mine was telling me how that when she got married, that she used to tell her husband that, honey, I love you so much. I've told my angel that when we get to heaven, I want God to build my mansion beside yours. You know, she said that after 1 year of marriage, she told her husband that she has told her angel to uproot her mansion. No, she does not want it again. You see, marriage can, you know, have its own, you know, crises and challenges, but there is so much grace, and, you know, there's so much grace when you are in a marriage that you know you heard God. Yes, so much grace when you're in a marriage that you know you heard God. I'm sorry. Please give me 1 minute. Let me change my data. I'm hearing that. I thought it was okay. Are we together, please?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, I'm coming, please. All right. Okay. Data. Sorry, please, the device. Okay, is that Ido?
Yes.
Oh, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Why is it? I don't know. Where are you? Are you in the Lord's throne?
Oh, it's my background. Like, I like to play around Zoom sometimes. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm on the beach. Awesome.
Wow. This is serious, yeah. So I like you are strong to receive grace.
Amen.
All right, so when, as I was saying, when you're in a relationship, in a marriage that you know you heard God, whatever challenges you face, okay, you know, there will be this confidence and, you know, grace and strength to see it through. Do you understand? All right. So before I go into what God will have me share today, I would love to appreciate my husband, amazing man. Mrs. Kenny has already appreciated him on my behalf. Thank you so much, woman of God. And my husband is a blessing. Don't worry. During the course of this program, I would get to share how we met as the Lord leads me. You know, we're not in the same place at the moment. So, you know, before I came up, you know, we did video call and he prayed for me. Amazing. You know, I'm so excited about the man that God, you know, gave to me to marry me, because if I wanted to do it by myself, do marriage by myself, I won't be here today. You know, I would be married to somebody who would, you know, go against my purpose, go against what God would have me do, go against, you know, my life. I'm telling you. You know why? Because the enemy, the Bible says that the enemy is a thief. It comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right, the enemy does not like the woman, most especially. I'm telling you the truth. The enemy hates the woman with a passion. If you study Revelations, I think 12 or 21 now, it talks about how the devil was after the woman's seed. Okay, so the enemy, you know, is, you know, trying so hard to limit, you know, the girl child, to, you know, stand in the way of women to fulfill their destiny. And one way he's doing that is through the aspect of relationships. What he's doing right now is bringing, you know, wrong men to marry, you know, girls, and then using those men to frustrate their destiny. The truth is, if you marry wrong, if you enter into the wrong relationship, it's like hell on earth. I'm telling you the truth. I've interacted with, you know, some women that are married, you know, singles, and then even the ones that are married. One I'm very close to at the moment, she's not ready to go back to her husband's house because it's been years of, you know, crisis, pain from one level to another. So it's very important that we get it right in relationship. All right. So if you know you're ready to get it right in relationship, please let me know so that I will know that I'm talking to people who are ready to marry the right person, who are ready to marry right. Please, if you know you're ready to marry the man that God will have for you, please, can I see you, you know, wave your hands or, you know, say I'm ready, I'm set. You know, I want to marry God's will for me. I want to marry God's will for me. Yeah, virtual wave, Emanuela. Yeah. You know, you need to marry that man that God will have for you. And this whole idea that the man that God has for me is somebody who is, I don't know the slang that Kenny used. Is it Jaga Jaga? I don't know what she used. Kenny, where you get all this slang?
Wuru Wuru. Jaga Jaga.
You know, that whole idea is not of God. Okay? That whole idea is not of God. The Bible says that, you know, the thoughts that God has towards us, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. Hallelujah. You know, God was speaking in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He says, the thoughts that I have for you, including the marital thoughts, including the romantic thoughts. It says they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God does not want you to be in a relationship with a guy that's going to frustrate you. It's going to make your life worse off. Hallelujah. God does not want that kind of man for you. God does not want that kind of man for you. The man that he has for you, he wants you to be married to a man that would love you like Christ loves the church. That's the man God wants you to be married to. Amen. So let me tell you one of the issues with us ladies. I'm going to put myself in people's shoes because I was once in, you know, in that place. Is that we think God is not interested in our love life. We think God is not interested in our romantic life. we feel when it comes to who is going to, you know, love us, you know, sweep us off our feet, we feel God is not interested. But if it's about going to church, prayer, you know, read the Bible, you know, all those things, we feel, yes, God is interested in that. But that's wrong. If you read Genesis chapter 2, I think Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, we're going to read scriptures, don't worry. And please, Kenny, I would love for you to help me post. It was God that came to Adam. And then God was like, God looked at Adam and he had already, you know, done the beautiful garden for him, set everything up and everything, ensured that he had food to eat and everything. I mean, such a loving father. And then God looked and said, ah, it is not good for the man to be alone, no. I mean, like, how will man just be alone? No. No, God says, I will make for him a helpmeet. Amen. Glory to God. Before, now hold that thought. Before I talk about that scripture, you know, I want to start by saying that there is a man that God will have you marry. Say there is a man that God will have me marry. If you're already married, don't worry. Just, you know, Flo, there is a man that God will have you marry.
There's a man that God will have me marry.
Yes. And I want you to say this. Say, every man is not my husband.
Every man is not my husband.
Why is that? I'm hearing only one person's voice. Where is everybody?
Yeah.
Don't worry, Kenny. You're permitted not to sing. You're already married. I mean, you cannot marry that man. No. So, every man is not your husband.
Every man is not my husband.
Every man. You know, this, we need to understand this, because this whole idea of dating everybody. Girls, we need to debunk it. Dating everybody, jumping from one place to another with everybody, it's not of God. Every man is not your husband. You need to understand this, because when you understand this, you would save yourself from this whole pressure of, you know, just let me just be dating everybody. You know, I dated Rex, it didn't work out. Okay, I'll move to John, it didn't work out. Let me move to James. Mm-mm. Every man is not your husband. There is a man for you. Say, there is a man for me.
There's a man for me.
It's a man for you. And then, guess what? There is no one man, no one woman. That's the beautiful thing about all of this. There is no one man, no one woman. If you get my book Before You Say Yes, I talked a lot about this in one of the chapters. You know, some people believe there's one man, one woman. No. There's no one man, one woman. You know, how God explained this to me was when he showed me about how he gave kings to the children of Israelites. First of all, he chose King Saul as the king. How many of us know that story?
We do.
Yeah, you know the story, right? Although some people say that Saul was not God's choice. I don't know. I've read my Bible over and over and I don't see where that is written. It was God that led Samuel to, you know, to Saul, and then, you know, made him king and all of that. Okay, so when Saul messed up, God had to choose another person, David. Okay? So there is no one man, one woman that, you know, must do something, you know. No. Mm-mm. Amen. If one person messes up, that's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is so amazing that if one person messes up, God is going to raise another person that is going to do that exact thing that God would want to be accomplished in your life, such that it will look as if that person never existed. Yeah. Because when you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 1, I mean, it amazes me. God wanted to establish the kingdom with King Saul. But if you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 1, as God established it with David, it's as if Saul was never in the picture. So if you're listening to me here tonight or today or this evening, wherever you are, and then you once, you know, were led to a relationship, you heard God clearly, and the guy messed up, or the relationship will work out, please hear this. Your life has not ended. What God wants to do with your life, with your marriage, with your relationship, will still be done beautifully and accurately, as though that guy was never in the picture. Are we following?
Yeah.
Amen. So there is a man for you. There is a man that is tailor-made for you. Like, people, you know, people set up apps now to say matchmaking apps, dating app, connect, you know, with so, you know, and all. And then this is actually man that is running with you know, his own wisdom. And the truth is, I have not seen anybody that can do matchmaking more than God. I have never seen. All these apps, all these things that we're doing is just, we are trying to catch up to the wisdom of God. We're trying to catch up with the wisdom of God. So if man would have apps for matchmaking and dating, trust me, the wisdom of God, you know, can beautifully arrange the man that God will have you marry. Without stress, I'm telling you. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Without you, you know, stressing your head. If only you would learn to follow God. If only you would learn to do the things that I'm going to share tonight. God can so lead you to your man without stress. Amen.
Amen.
You know, for me, for my own story, I got to know my husband by revelation. God spoke to me that this is my husband. 2012. But guess what? I'd always known him since 2010. Amen. We've been, you know, friends since 2010. So he has always been around me. You get, so could it be that some of you, the man that God will have you marry is around you, but you don't see it yet? I wasn't born again at that time. I was living a very, you know, wayward life. Glory to God. I was living a very carnal life. So I wasn't born again. You know, I was all those girls you would term the bad girls of the campus. You know, or there are bad girls in levels, although mine was not so on the SS, you know. We were learning, we were graduating to become, you know, the big, big, top, top bad girls. But thank God, God saved me early. So I knew my husband then, and I didn't like him. You know, we're all in pre-degree. We're doing pre-degree to get into OAU. You know, and guess what? What God did was God put God put me in his heart, you know, and then he started praying for me that, you know, this girl should get born again, this girl should get saved. He didn't know too that I was going to be his wife. So we got into campus, and then God is beautiful. See, if you're listening to me here and you're an intercessor, and you know, God has given you the assignment to pray for people. He's faithful. You know, my husband used to pray. In fact, I will see him. I'll come out of my hostel. I'll see him, you know, I'll be brushing my teeth in the morning, and I'll be seeing him walking about with his bowl. I'll be like, what is this guy going to this point? No, he was praying for me. And the funny thing was, I was given an hostel that was far from campus, but I didn't take it. So I decided to rent a personal room. And then, as God will have it, the personal room I rented was close to his own hostel that school gave him. So my mom, funny enough, the landlord, are we following this, Jeez?
Yeah.
So the landlord of his own hostel is the owner of the self container that I rented. So my mom went to see the landlord, and the landlord stays in the hostel where my husband was. So my mom went to see him. So my mom now saw my husband and then some other guys. So my mom now gave, said to my husband, she said, I'll take care of my daughter. I'm handing her over to you to take care of her for me. Well, not knowing that later on, they're going to be you know, that's his mother-in-law. You know, it was so funny when my husband came to the house, you know, to officially state his you know, marital kidney. And then my mom was like, ah, truly, I really handed up my daughter to you. Now you can see all of this was God working things out. You know, at that time, if anybody had told my husband that I would be his wife, he would reject it. Why? Because my husband wanted to marry an outcast. And then he wanted to marry a virgin. Someone, because he too was a virgin. So someone who had not spoiled in life. Triggered. And I was totally opposite of all of those things. You know, I lived a messed up life. And he knew about all of them. You know, in fact, today I was just laughing because somebody sent him an Instagram message that I want to get, that he needs his help, and that the lady he's in a relationship with, he got to find out that this lady, you know, he has started liking the lady and he's led to the lady actually. But he later found out that the lady, he knew the lady's past, but later on he found out that the lady God will have him married. He said, but right now he's beginning to feel somehow that he doesn't think he can marry her because he knows about her past. And right now he's picking it in his spirit that this is the person that God will have, you know, him marry. So I got to see my husband's Instagram message. My husband, I'm trying to help his social media life so I can be serious with it. So I got access to his Instagram. So I saw the message. So I told him, I said, babe, somebody sent you an Instagram message. The person needs your help. It was like, what's the person's issue? I said, don't worry, go and read it. So we're doing video call, my husband was reading it, and then he was laughing so hard, because this was him some years ago. You know, my husband struggled. I'm telling you, my husband struggled when God started revealing me to him. My husband struggled, just the same way Joseph struggled to receive Mary as his wife. Why? Because she was already found with child. The guy was ready to put her away. He was not interested. Like, I mean, what am I doing? You're already praying. You're telling me that it's the Holy Spirit that permitted you. I don't hear. She gets. But guess what? The Holy Spirit, you know, resolved the matter and then told Joseph and said to her, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Now, I'm saying all of this gist so you can know that, see, God is interested in who we get married to. He's interested in our love life. Because of relationship marital matter, Joseph had an encounter with an angel. Not because he was praying for crusade, though. Because of relationship, because of marital matter, Joseph had an encounter. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Why? Because marriage, relationship is for purpose. You know, I wish I can gather ladies that are just missing it, you know, all over the world and let this enter into their head. Yes, God is interested in our love life. He's interested in our, you know, relationship and who we get married to. But it is because our relationship and marriage is for a purpose. Kenny, now, you know, I was just laughing when she was just talking that she had specs, six pack, eight pack, all those pack. All those pack. You see your fine face. Maybe the one you wanted to marry would have beaten your face by now with all their packs. You know, and then I thank God for leading you rightly to the man that you're married to, such a beautiful man. I mean, I'm talking about his heart now, you know. But, you know, handsome man and with a beautiful heart, you know, supporting you, allowing you to do what God will have you do. I mean, if you're married to another person now, I don't know. Well, if you're married to that person you wanted to get married to. Ah, well, because we're saying that you were consuming all of God and God was not interested. You know, it would have really drained you. Imagine having to, you know God for yourself, and then you're now mentoring your husband. I mean, no, it's draining. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I'm not saying that some people don't have those kind of relationships whereby the guy doesn't, you know God and all of that. But I'm trying to say that if the guy is interested, you can see that he's interested in God, but his knowledge of God is not as deep as your own. No problem. All he needs is a mentor. All he needs is an encounter with God. You keep interceding for him. But are you in a relationship with somebody who doesn't want to know about God at all? Ah, that one is something else. Amen. So the first thing I want to say tonight is that marriage is for purpose. Say this. Say marriage is for purpose.
Marriage is for purpose.
Marriage is not for, let's be snapping selfie, couple goals, all those things to do on social media. Couples go, and some of them, their husband is beating them. Couples go, some of them, their husband is cheating on them. Couples go, some of them, their husband is womanizing on them. Don't be deceived by all the glam you see on social media. Some people are not happy in their marriage. But when you are in a purposeful marriage, when you are in a marriage that you know that God wants to use this union, I mean, what joy will fill your soul. Even when you people don't even have everything yet, you people don't have all the money, you people don't have everything, because the truth is, some people say that, I used to say that, because my husband, we told ourselves, well, there won't be sex in our relationship, you know, we're going to have sex for the first time when we get married, and God helped us 4 years, 9 months, and 20 days, yeah. We kept that, you know, covenant because we're believers and we love God, you know. So I used to have this feeling that, when we get married, we're going to be having sex back to back. We will knock. Like, Jesus. In fact, angels will know that somebody has married. All the sex has been doing us since we have it. But I got married and, man, marriage, I got to know that marriage is not about sex. If you get married because you want to be having sex, you will get tired. So what keeps me and my husband more horny, more happy, more excited, more, you know, vibrant outside sex in marriage is the fact that we are married because there is a purpose attached to this marriage. Mary and Joseph knew. They knew that, see, this union, this our being engaged, is not for let's be engaged. It's not for, oh, couples goes, let's tell the old Jerusalem, we are the new latest engaged couple. They knew that this union is for purpose. And God bless Joseph. I love Joseph. I'm telling you, there are people that I want to meet when I get to heaven. One of them is Joseph. The Bible said he allowed Mary to carry the baby for 9 months. He didn't touch her. He had sex with her afterwards. That man brought himself under the understanding of the purpose that Mary had. And he walked with her. He helped her. He held her hand. That's the kind of man God would have you marry. A man that will hold your hands. A man that would help you birth the baby that you are carrying. Not a man that will bring what you're carrying into you know, abortion and, you know, kill the vision that you have. A man that understands your purpose. A man that knows you by revelation. That's the man. That's the man that God will have you marry. Hallelujah. All right, you're welcome, Esther from Texas. So nice to meet you. That's the man God will have you marry. A man that knows you by revelation. Not a man that knows you for your big breast. All he wants is just your breast, your bum bum. I mean, no, I'm actually, okay, I'm not going to say because we're recording. Okay, let me just say this. You know, I actually, you know, when I was young, guys used to know me when I was, you know, in undergraduate days. Guys knew me. I had a name. The black busty girl. That was, guys knew me for that. Like, because that was my tag, the girl that is busty. But I thank God that when I got born again and I met my husband. My husband didn't know me for that. He knew me as a woman that will fulfill destiny with him. Amen. That's the man God will have in mind, a man that knows you by revelation. So really, some of you in a relationship, you need to ask yourself, does this guy know you by revelation? Or this guy knows you for your fine face, for your big boobs, for your big bum bum? Oh, the fact that you're able to give him sex, that's what he knows you for. No. That's not the kind of relationship. That's not the kind of marriage that God will have you know, be. That's not it, girl. That's not it at all. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. I want to establish a thought tonight that marriage is for purpose, and I want to show you from God's word. So please, can you help us with posting? Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. You know, God created man, you know, in his own image and his own likeness. Male and female created he them. So, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, Adam was in the garden, you know, and then God said something to Adam. I'm just going to read it if I can't find the scripture posted. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, please let's pay attention. And the Lord God took the man, thank you, dear. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to do what? To work it. The translation she sent is to work it. KJV says to dress it and to keep it. Now, please jump to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Jump there. It says, and the Lord God now said, it is not good that the man should be alone. God said, it's not good that the man that I have put in this garden to dress it, to keep it, it is not good for that man to be alone. Follow me. God now said, I will make him an help meet. God said, I will make him an help meet. Wow. So, the woman is actually the help meet. We're going to see that in Genesis 2, verse 23 to 24. Let's read it before I say what I want to say. Genesis 20, 23 to 24. Okay. 23:24. Before Genesis 23:24, God, you know, brought different animals to Adam to see what he would name them. But the Bible says for Adam, nobody was found as an helpmeet for him. And then God now took a rib, caused Adam to sleep, and then took a rib from him and made a woman. Genesis 2, verse 23, it says, Adam now said, when he saw the woman, okay, verse 22 says, and the rib which the Lord God brought from the man, made it a woman and brought her unto the man. God brought the woman to the man. And then Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. 24. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Why did all of this happen? God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make for him my helpmeet. Why does the man need a helper? Why does he need a helpmeet? Because of verse 15. God said, he put the man in the garden to dress it, to keep it. The man had a purpose. God didn't say, I will make for him a lovable. Although that's part of it. Jiget. God didn't say, I'm going to make for him a girlfriend, you know, a side chick or you know, a fling. He says, I'm going to make for him a helpmate. A helper. Now, okay, my PA is here, Favor from Nigeria, she's here. Hello, dear, God bless you. She and, you know, she has been the one in charge of the registration and all of that. You get, she's my assistant. She helps me out in the ministry, you know, and she makes my life easier in terms of ministry and all of that. There will be no need for me to have a PA. if I don't have anything that I'm doing. Do you understand? The reason she is my assistant is because I have something I'm doing. I have an agenda. I have a mission. I have a purpose. So she's assisting me. So the reason why wife came about was because man had something he was doing, and then God needed somebody to be with him to help him. So marriage, relationship is for purpose. You are a helpmeet to a man. Not just any man, a man that is on purpose, living for purpose, has something he's doing for God. Adam was in the garden. God said he put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. Amen. So we are, the reason why the wife, you know, marriage, you know, came about was because of verse 15. Because God wanted somebody to help the man in dressing and keeping the garden. So marriage, relationship is for purpose. You know, it's for purpose. Yes, God wants, you know, our emotional needs, you know, all of those things to cool off. You know, TMA, my ovaries are moving all over the place. They need romance. Leave your ovaries will be fine. But the major important thing for marriage is not for sex. It's for purpose. Sex is part of it. But the primary reason is for purpose. So it means that before you get into a relationship, before you say yes to a man, you must understand that, see, we're not just, you know, going into this relationship to ease and to tone our emotional, you know, cooler. You know, girls, we like being in love, right? Who doesn't like being in love here? We all like being in love, Abby. Why is everybody? We all love being in love, Abby.
Yeah.
We love that feeling of, I'm in love, chemistry, butterflies, you know, all of those things. We love it. Somebody to just think about you, send you sweet things, SMS. You wake up, you see the guy's message. We love all of those things. It's good. But I want you to have this at the top of your mind, that those things have to be put under purpose. You have to come on that purpose. So the person that you would have all those butterflies for, your relationship has to fulfill a purpose. Amen. Why? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it talks about that, you know, two is better than one, because both of them will have a reward for their labor. This whole idea of, I'm incomplete, somebody will complete me, is not true. It's not true. Two people are better than one. It didn't say half people are better than one. Two complete people is better than one. Why? Because they have a reward for their labor. And it talks about, you know, it's better for... Okay, let's read that scripture. Sorry, I can't really see it. I don't know, maybe it's because Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Okay, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. It says, if they fall, the one, yeah, I think he will leave his fellow or, but what to him that is alone when he falleth? For he does not have another to help him. That's why God said, I need man to have somebody. It's not good for man to be alone. Okay, it says, verse 11, it now says, again, if two of them lie together, they have it. But how can one be warm alone? Chicken. So the whole idea of relationship, you having a partner, is not so that your life will become washed off, or just so that you just be in an emotional euphoria. I'm just in love. It's for a purpose. It's for labor. It's something both of you are meant to do together. I love watching detective CIA movies. I love it. Like, I love it. It's been a long time I watched anyone. Is there anyone I've watched that I can remember? You know, maybe, I can't really remember anyone, but the ones I've watched, I love it. I love the way that the detective or the CIA agent has a partner. I love it. My partner. You know, and they walk hand in hand. That's how your relationship is meant to be. Having a partner. But to the people in relationship, they don't even know what they are doing. All they are doing is partner in bed, partner in going out, spending money. Valentine's coming. Partner, what's my Valentine's gift? But that's wrong. It says two people are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. They are meant to be doing something together. They are meant to be working towards a purpose. Amen. I believe we're getting blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, so are we getting blessed tonight?
Yes.
All right, so I believe we're learning something. So to know the man that God will have you marry, all right, I want us to take note of the following things. So I'm about to go into the teaching in depth. Okay? To know the man that God will have you marry, you must seek the kingdom of God first. Amen. You must seek the kingdom of God first. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But before we read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Kenny, please let's read from that part where God was saying that the unbelievers, they are so bothered about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to wear. So braggadabah. That's from 25. Okay. All right. Jesus was speaking here. He said, take note for your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, for your body, what you put on. He said, is life not more than food and clothes? Okay. Yeah. I'm looking for the part where he said, the unbelievers, they worry about these things. Yes, 31. He said, therefore, take no thought saying what we should eat, what we should drink, and all of that. He said, for all these things do the unbelievers, they seek. Yeah. He says, the unbelievers are so concerned about, man, are you in a relationship? You're not in a relationship. Valentine is coming. I need to be in a relationship before Valentine. Like, somebody has to take me out. Like, somebody needs to be my vow. Like, I need to be a vow to somebody. I mean, imagine Tracy. Tracy has, like, five guys who have told. They've said they want to be a vow. I mean, both straight. I need both straight. You know, some girls, in fact, used to be teddy bear, but girls are moving. No longer teddy bear now. iPhone 12, bone straight. I need to have a boo. In fact, I've not been to church since this lockdown thing started, but I'm going to church. God must provide me a boo for this Valentine that must get me bone straight, iPhone. I mean, no. God, you are alive. You know, all of those things. And then... I remember how some girls used to feel so depressed in school then, you know, when Valentine, you know, and all of that, they don't have a Valentine. Unbelievers are so bothered about these things. But I love what the Bible says. It says, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Girlfriend, see, God knows you have need of somebody who will love you, who will do your heart, tinini tanana, God knows. He knows you want to be in love. He knows you want, he knows. God is not, he knows. So you know what? This is where you get to say, God, I want to be in love. Like, be open to God. I want a man to love me. Don't be shy about it. Tell your father these things. Tell him how you feel. Say, God, I want to be in love, but I want to be in the right kind of love. I want a man to love me, God, but I'm not going to do it outside you. You get? Now be open to your father because he knows these things. I don't know where you are. You are in the bathroom, you are bathing. The Holy Spirit knows your nakedness, knows everything. He knows everything about your life. Do you understand? So God knows you want to be in love. You want a man who will love you. And you know what God told me? God told me, you know, when I was busy, I used to date. I would date up and down. I dated as if my life was about dating. I'm telling you, I can just meet a guy today and then tomorrow start a dating. Why? Because I carried the burden of looking for the man who will love me. I carried it on my head. Like, it's my responsibility. I need to find a man who will love me. I need to find somebody who will love me. It's my responsibility. I need to do it by myself, for myself. I must do it. I need to find that man. I took it like it's my responsibility. I ended up dating a lot of frogs, people who messed my life up. Thank God that God saved me early. You know, but I want to let you know tonight that it's not your responsibility to find a man that, you know, to marry. It is God. He's your father. God is your father. How many of us remember that story of, okay, how many of us know Father Abraham? Do we know Father Abraham?
Yes.
Do you know that story where Abraham was telling his servant that he should go to his hometown to look for a wife for him, for his son? Was it Isaac that was running about looking for who's going to marry me? Who's going to marry me? His father already had it arranged. He said, see, Eliezer, go to my hometown. Go and look for a wife for my son. I don't want him to marry any of these daughters of the Canaanites. See, that's who a father is. A father is interested. A father is interested about who you marry. A father, you know, arranges. That's God for you. Don't carry it on your head. And don't carry it on your head. I must find a man to marry me. I must look for who will marry me. I will date this year. I'm going to date. If I date Kool-Aid, date this one, date that one. No. Trust your father to lead you. See the beautiful story Kenny shared with me. When she shared that story with me, when I first met her, I was really amazed. Like, wow. Amen. And then, see, some of you will have to go through pain to get into the promised land of relationship that God has for you. You should have to go through pain to break away from that guy, to enter into, you know, what God has for her. Some of you need to break away from the relationship you are in right now. You know that that's not the guy. You know. You already know that that's not the guy God will have you marry. But you're like, what's he mean? I've slept with him. I've aborted for him. I love him. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said it's better to cut, you know, to enter into. How did Jesus say it again? It's better to enter, you know, into heaven with one hand than to go to hell with your two hands. Amen. So you need to cut off from that guy. It's going to be painful. For me, when God told me, I've not even told you what God told me, I'll tell you. When God told me that, you know, I should break away from every ungodly relationship, I had to travel to start breaking up with some guys. I left school, traveled to Benin, I broke up with one. You know, I just had to break up with all of them. Yeah. Yeah, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye. To enter hell with two eyes. So it will be painful, though. To seek the kingdom of God is easy and sweet. It's sweet, but it may not be easy for the flesh. You have to make some decisions that will shake you, that will break you. But it's going to be better for you. So what God told me, I will never forget that morning. God said to me, said, when I decided to start seeking God, seeking his kingdom, loving him, you know, and forget about guys. Okay? Which is actually the scripture we're supposed to read. Matthew 6, verse 3. It says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? All right. So I'll go back to that. But let me tell you what God told me. God said to me, said, this one that you are looking for, who you want to marry, looking for the man to love you. God said to me, said, I know you more than you know yourself. That word changed my life. God said, I know you more than you know yourself. God said, I know the man that can love you more than you know the man that can love you. So some of you feel you know the man for you. I know the man. Like Ken was saying, I have specs. Hello. See, God knows you more than you know you. So he knows the man for you more than you do. So why not let him lead you? So how to know the man God will have you marry? You have to seek the kingdom of God first. You have to seek him. You have to seek God's kingdom. And, you know, and every other thing will be added unto you, including the man God will have you marry. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 4. Please take note of this point. Psalm 37, verse 4. That scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord. And it says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, when it comes to, you know, who God will have you marry, it's kind of like a twist. You're not meant to be looking at, hey, I need to get married. You need to sit with God. God said, sit down with me. He said, I will bring the man for you. He said, sit down and learn of me. I will bring the man the man I have for you to you. It's not in jumping around. Like, you know, Martha, you know, and Mary. Martha was busy. I want to cook for Jesus. I want to do everything for Jesus. But Mary was sitting at his feet. And then Jesus said, this thing that Mary has found, this is just the thing that is needed. It's in seeking God, seeking the kingdom. Men will run after you. The man that God will have for you will come chasing for you. Doing your father's business. How did Isaac meet Rebecca? You know, how did Isaac meet Rebecca? She was, you know, serving her father. She came to, you know, fetch water at the well. And then in that place, she knew how to even feed the camels of Abraham's servant. Because she has been working for her father. And in that place, God connected her to her husband. God is running around. See, settle down. Get a church. Go to a church. Settle down with God. Serve God. Learn of him. Seek him first. That scripture, Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, this is not delighting yourself in the Lord, and then, as you're delighting yourself in the Lord, you're just like, oh God, I want to marry somebody like Drake. I like, who is even the reigning superstar? I mean, I don't know this way again. I don't know them, Daddy. Okay, oh God, I love Drake. I want to marry somebody like Drake. As I'm delighting you, myself in you, I'll marry somebody like Drake. No, dear. That's not it. This is actually, this scripture is saying that when you delight yourself in the Lord, God will begin to smear on your heart his desires. And then you're going to begin to desire God's desires for you. You know, as you delight yourself in the Lord, you know, you're going to start loving the will of God for you, and you're going to start desiring the will of God. All of a sudden, you just find yourself desiring, you know, to marry a man that, you know, is involved with politics. You know, someone who's after making politics, you know, doing politics God's way. Before, you all your desire was to marry all those guys that used to do low waist, all those guys that used to char, you know, all those guys that char club guys. All of a sudden, your desires are now kingdom. You're not desiring a kingdom man. You're not desiring a man who is after God. That's God's, smearing and rubbing his desires in your heart. So you begin to desire it. And then when you come together, God, I'm beginning to like this kind of thing. God's like, yeah, I know. I made that happen. Now, let me give you an analogy. Kenny, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Tammy.
So Kenny said she loves cooking. Yeah? So if Ido, who's at school, secondary school friend, maybe Jill comes to live with Kenny. And Jill does not like cooking. But Kenny loves cooking. And then Jill starts living with her. In like 3 months, Jill will never know when she likes starts to cook. She'll just try to be carrying things and try to be cooking. You know, the love for cooking will rub off on her. Why? Because she has lived with Kenny. So when you begin to delight yourself in the Lord, okay, you begin to desire God's will for you.
Yeah.
Automatically. You begin to desire, and you know, God, you know, wills that, you know, you're going to marry somebody, a certain kind of man. Oh, the testimony of your roommate here. You know, imagine, maybe God wants you to marry this kind of person, a kind of man. And then, all of a sudden, your desires will just be tilted towards that kind of man with that kind of, you know, specs. And then, all of a sudden, your desires will stop. You maybe used to desire that, oh, you want to marry all those was Bobby or those WhatsApp guys before. Those were your desires before. But as you delight yourself in the Lord, you begin to realize that desire is no longer there. I wanted to marry them kind of whiskey guys, though. All those WhatsApp guys, them Jay-Z kind of guys. That kind of guy I wanted to marry, oh. Guys are, you know, low waist. As in when they move like this, when they move, girls, like, look at them like, who just passed? That's the kind of man I wanted to marry. But when I started delighting myself in the Lord, I started detesting all those kind of guys. Like, I don't know, no. Uh-uh. When they will come around, I'm like, please, no. Uh-uh. Don't even come close. So, get busy delighting yourself in the Lord. Automatically, you will start desiring the will of God for you. And then when you see the will of God, you will know it. That, this is what I've been desiring in my heart. This is what has been coming to me. I've seen it. Amen. So settle down with God. Number two, live by the word. Amen. Live by the word. You know, a lot of people want to be doing all these things of, they will carry pictures. And say, I heard this in Nigeria. They'll carry pictures and say, this is James, this is Jude, this is Elisha, this is Femi. Out of these four, who is my husband? See for me. All those things. And then, first prophet that is hungry now, that his child needs to eat, his children needs to go to school. You know, and now the guy is hungry. Guy will not say, I think it's Femi. And then you say, you know, we tell you to drop money for some rituals and all of that. And then you say, I think it's Femi. All those things are lies. See, there's a way you can know. Okay? There's a way you can know. And one of them, I've told you, seek the kingdom of God first. Number two, live by the word. Turn with me to Psalm 119 verse 105. Because the first prophet now will tell you that, Femi is the one. And then, Femi may be somebody that believes in polygamy. But first prophet is saying that that's when you marry. And even sometimes, not even first prophet, some of us, even some girls even feel like, this guy will marry. But the guy believes in certain things that go against the word of God. Psalm 119, yes, 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God. See, guys, if you live by the word of God, you will know who God will have you marry. You won't miss it. Because even when there are visions that come and say, "Oh, this guy is your husband," but this guy is going against the written word of God, debunk it. That's not your husband. Nothing can be done against the truth. Jesus said the scriptures cannot be broken. You had a vision. You saw that you and the guy, people got married. But the guy said, "See, this relationship, we must have sex." When God has said that, flee fornication. It's in the word that, you know, flee fornication. That sex is for marriage. And this guy that you said you have vision about says you people must have sex. That this relationship, sex must progress, sex must continue. Girlfriend, that is not the man God will have you marry. You see how by living by the word, you can know certain things easily. Just by living by the word. The word is a lamp unto our feet. Amen. Please pose that scripture again. The word is a lamp to our feet. The word gives us direction. The word is a lamp unto our feet. What is a lamp unto your feet? It gives you direction. And a light unto your path. It gives you direction. If you don't have the word of God, if you're not living by the word of God, you will lack direction. You will miss it in marriage. I'm telling you the truth. Guys will bubble you. They will tell you things. If you're a woman by the word, you live by the word of God, it'll be very difficult for anybody to deceive you. When you know that the word of God says this, and the guy is telling you otherwise, you're like, "Sorry, please, forget it." Nah. Jesus said it. He said, you know, he said, "Let heaven and earth pass away, but no jot of my word pass away." So be a woman by the word. Live by the word of God. And one thing the word of God will do for you, it will sharpen your discernment to know his will. Some people say, I knew my husband by revelation. You know, God spoke to me. It came clearly that this guy is your husband. He has been around me since. But I didn't know. But how did I get to that level where I knew by my spirit that this man is my husband? Let me tell you. When God said, "Stop sleeping around," I obeyed. I obeyed the written word. When God said to move away from ungodly relationship, when God said to start, you know, taking church seriously, to stop forsaking the gathering of believers, I obey those words. So ask yourself, are you obeying the written word of God? As you begin to obey the written word of God, you graduate to that level of hearing the word of God. Some of you don't, the word of God written to you in black and white. You're not living by it. You want to not be hearing. You will hear the devil tell you different things. Amen.
Amen.
God says, you know, flee fornication. But you're still in that relationship, having sex with that guy. You still go to church. Yes, God loves you, right? He loves you, cares about you. But can you take a step and say, "God, I want to live by your word. I'm going to break away from this ungodly relationship. I'm going to say yes to your word." I lived all those, you know, ungodly relationships. I broke it because I wanted to do God. I wanted to live by his word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to speak by his word. Glory to God. The next thing, number three, how to know the man that God will have you marry. How to know the man that God will have you marry. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be led by the Spirit of God? How can you be led by the Spirit of God? Pray. Prayer. Psalm 37, verse 5. Turn with me to Psalm 37, verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5. Are we there, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. All right, so go to Proverbs 3, verse 5-7. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to, including that relationship. That guy that is coming to ask you out. Some girls have said, I think they call it, let's go on a date. Some guys have said, let's go on a date. And then they said yes to a guy, let's go on a date. And the guy ended up raping them, ended up molesting them, ended up disverging them, ended up messing them up. Why? Because they didn't commit it to the Lord. It's not a big deal if you say, God, this guy is asking you, let's go on a date. And you say, God, and you say, I want to pray about it. Yes. It's okay, I'll get back to you. I need to pray about it. You want us to go out, you know, especially in this evil world. And the guy is also okay, like, okay, I'll get back to you. You may not tell him what to pray about, but like, okay, I'll get back to you. Now just say yes to everybody. This one say, let's go out, say yes. This one say, let's go out, you say yes. And then they ended up messing you up. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5-7. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let... No. Verse 3, verse 5. 3, verse 5.
5 is down, CMA. I put from 1 to 8, so 5 is...
Okay. 5 is down. Okay. Let me see. Okay, it says, commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, wait, I'm not seeing it though.
We need to see Proverbs 3.
Okay, I've seen it. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all what? In all thy ways, not some. In all your ways, in your relationship ways, in your marital ways, in your romantic ways. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So are you acknowledging God in your relationship, or you have taken God out? It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In your finances, in your relationship, you know, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, my baby started having, you know, cough and, you know, started coughing. I will not say just baby life. I laid hands on her nose. I said, Kata, go in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, I don't want this in my baby. You know, I know, I'm giving her medications as well, but I prayed about it. He says, in all thy ways, all. You miss your period. You're not having sex or jumping around. Father, Lord, why is spirit not coming? In all your ways, stop taking God from your life and segregating him. Once it's about spiritual things, that's when we can talk to God. No, in all your ways, your school grades, somebody's proposing to you. The guy wants to, you know, he wants you to get into a relationship. You don't just, He says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't just say, and there's no need to pray to God about him. After all, he's nice. After all, he's good looking. After all, he has money. After all, he can take care of me. After all, he likes me. After all, no. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Lot made this mistake. When the Bible says when Abraham and Lot were moving together, and then they started having a lot of goods and, you know, animals and all of that, you know, and then the herdsmen of Lot started having issues with the herdsmen of, you know, of Abraham's cattle and all of that. So they needed to separate. If you read that scripture, Genesis chapter 13, verse 11, it says Lot looked at, you know, Abraham said, choose anywhere. If you choose left, I will go right. If you choose right, I will go left. The Bible says Lot went to look at all the plains. He saw all the fine one, and he chose the one that was fine. Read that scripture very well. The next verse says, and wicked people lived in that place. It could be that the guy that you are choosing, you saw that, he's good looking, he's so nice, he's everything. It could be that wickedness is in his heart. The guy is wicked, but you can't see it. You are leaning on your own understanding.
But when you take it to God, when you take it to God and you say, God, this guy that has come to propose to me, Father, I bring him to you. What do you have to say? The Holy Ghost will reveal it to you. The Holy Ghost will reveal his heart to you. See, we can see physically. I can see Kenny physically. But the Spirit of God can see what's in Kenny's heart. You don't have a high eyes that can see into the hearts of people. You don't. It's only the Holy Ghost. God said to Samuel, look, they were choosing kings. You know, I wanted to choose kings and the next king. And in the house of Jesse, where are your sons? Samuel, even prophet Samuel, a prophetic person, he saw, you know, Eliab. Man, this is the king of Israel. Who thought that can answer? My God. See, I mean, I think I found the man. Shy God. This guy's spec is specked. Like, God, I can't sleep. See, I mean, I've been dreaming about him. Like, but God said to Prophet Samuel, please, don't, he's not the king, girl. And then God said something very key. He said, man looks at the body, but I, God, I see the inward parts of man. See, please, girls, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, please. I can kneel down and beg you. In these wicked times that we are, please acknowledge God before you say yes to a man. Before you say yes, pray about him. Let God lead you. Because this where we are going to in this world right now, people will lie. They will tell you that they love you, and then you marry them, not to love you in this group, and then you marry them and find out that they are already married to in another country. A lot evil. Evil is in the heart of men. When I was, you know, my undergraduate days, when I was ready to be serious with God, this guy cried for me. He said, if I don't say yes to him, he's going to jump the 3-story building. And we're in 1 3-story building, 1 department.
Mm.
If you watch Citation in Netflix, that's my school. Let's farm school. OAU. You know. And then the guy said, going to jump from 1 3-story building down. If I don't say yes to him, his eyes had, eyes were, they were teary. But guess what? This guy already had a lady that was engaged to in Lagos. But I didn't know. I had not trained my spirit. I didn't pray about him. I just said yes. Because of his, you know, physical demonstration and how he played his game, how he played his card. So I just, you know, added 1 + 1 together. Okay, he cried for me. He begged me. My own understanding. And I said yes to the guy. And then I found out that he already had a lady was engaged to. They were already planning introduction in Lagos. And he was busy on campus crying to me to say he wants to be in a relationship with me. So he wanted me to be his university babe. Girls, I cried when I found out. In fact, I would have stabbed him when I found out, Seth. You know, because I was making spark for him in the kitchen. So I saw the SMS, Mama D. Where is this Mama D safe? Let me even check it out. I was like, hey, Mama D, I love you. As my mother-in-law, Mama D. Eh? So he has been telling my Mama D is one mama. I didn't know Mama D was his fiancé. I cried. I was heartbroken. Why? Because I leaned on my own understanding. So girls, please, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. When it comes to choosing the right man, please do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Father. Amen. Please show me Psalm 32, verse 8. Are we getting blessed today?
So much.
Psalm 32, verse 8. It says, I will teach thee, I will instruct thee, I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you in my own eyes. See, God is in the business of instructing his daughters on who to marry. Let God instruct you. Some of you, Seth, listen to me. You have no business with relationship for now. Telling you. You have no business with relationship. God will instruct you. This is when to enter into a relationship. For now, focus and sit at my feet and learn of me. He says, God, we teach you, we guide you. We guide you to the man who you will get married to. Some of you is even in changing of jobs. He's in the place of changing jobs. You know, God will tell you, take a job or relocate. Or go here, or go here. Like, God, leave me now. And then God is about to direct you to your husband. Imagine that day when Rebecca was going to fetch water. You know, at the well. She was like, I beg, I'm not going. And her father was like, go and fetch water for me. She went and she found her husband. So this year, 2021, for those of you trusting God, you know, to meet the man God will have you married, don't joke with instructions. Just obey. All right, Isaiah 30, verse 21. It says, I will hear a voice behind me saying, this is the way. You know, turn to the right, turn to the left. This is the way going in. God, trust God to direct you. Trust God to lead you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Trust God to lead you. Pray about the guy. Just pray about any relationship, that any proposal that comes to you. Pray about it. Take it to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I want to show us something here, and then we'll move to the last point. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. If you are a believer, if you are born again, being led to who you will marry, knowing who the man that God will have you marry is your right. It's not about one level of spirit. You have to be very spiritual, like attain the height of Kenneth Copeland and, you know, no. If you're a child of God, if you are born again, you have the right to be led. And how does it start? I've told you. Start by living by the word of God. Start by obeying scriptures, the written word of God. God says, go here, you go. God says, do this, you do. Little instructions that God gives you. All of these things, you know, will help sharpen your discernment. God says, wake up and start praying 30 minutes every day. You do it. That's the same way you will hear this guy. Don't say yes to him. He'll ruin your life. That's the same way you will hear this guy is the man for you. You know, I once heard a story of a lady. She was in a relationship. She was about to get married to this guy. And the Holy Spirit told her, get up now. Go to his house. So they're like, Spirit, is morning now. And then she went. As she knocked, a lady with towel came. Who are you? Hello? It was his wife. The guy was already married. But she didn't know. But by the Holy Ghost, who instructed her, the Holy Ghost that she has, you know, gotten accustomed to his voice, she has learned his voice, led her and saved her from heartache, heartbreak. Amen. And then, you know, verse 16 of that script, of that chapter says, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit, for we are the children of God. I'm just going to say this. You know, if you're born again here, let me see your hands up. You're born again. Okay, Jill says she's born again. Now, yeah, the way you know you're born again, you just know. Now, okay, you that say you're born again. Let me ask you a question. Were you there when Jesus died on the cross?
No.
No.
You were not there. But you believe that Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit that made you believe. The Bible says in 16, it says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit bears witness with your spirit, telling you that Jesus died for you. See, how to know the man God will have you marry? The Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit. The Spirit of God will make you will be able to know that this is the man that God will have you marry. Same way the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit that this guy is not the one for you. Just the same way Kenny knew that this guy is not the one. by the Spirit. So you see, it's not by trial, by error. It's not by jumping around. It's not by power, by might. It's by the Spirit that you will know the man that God will have you marry. It's not by jumping around, doing trial by error. If you do trial by error, you will get your heart broken several times. It's by being led by the Spirit of God. Yes, it may be, you know, even the guy may be led to, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there may be complications, you know, and all of that. But see, when God is the one leading you, he has a way to recompensate you, even when the person he led you to messed up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The final point, which is, I saved this one for the last, because this is very important. How to know the man that God will have you marry. Please get this point. You have to know God for yourself. You have to have a personal walk with God. All this, pastor said, this one said, they said about God has to end. You need to come into intimacy with God. You need to have a walk with God, a personal walk with God, not a church walk with God. That you just go to church and then that's it. You don't have a person after church, you're not having a deep walk with God. You don't hear God for yourself, you don't know God for yourself. Your relationship with God is just churchy. Sunday once a week, that's it. No, you need to have a personal walk with God. You need to know God for yourself. Why? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Message translation quickly. Oh, I love this verse. I love it so much. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, the Message translation. Please, I want us to read it together. It said, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Amen. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. He says, long before we first heard of Christ, we got our hopes up. He had his eye on us, had designed us for a glorious living. Part of the overall purpose is working out in everything and in everyone. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you need to know God for yourself. Amen. You need to know God for yourself. You need to know God for yourself. You need to know his purpose for your life. You need to know who you are living for before you get to know who to live with. It's in Christ that we know, you know, what we are living for. Let me say that again. You need to know what you are living for before you get to know who you are, who you are meant to live with. If you don't know your essence in life, what are you doing looking for who you want to be with? You don't have direction. Know who you are living for before you know you are meant to live with. And it's only in Christ that we can know what we are living for. It's only in Christ that we can find our purpose. So this brings us back to God. You need to know God for yourself. To know the man God we have you married, you need to know God for yourself. You need to know God as love. Oh, this is so important, girls. We need to know God as love. Let me tell you why this is so important. If you don't know God as love, you will see anything that anybody tells you is love as love. Do you know that some girls believe that a guy that hits them, a guy that they've aborted for, a guy that sleeps with them, they feel that's love. They think that's love and they are ready to marry that kind of guy. Some people even, they're okay with a guy cheating on them. They know in the relationship that the guy humanizes. They were like, all those ones are side chicks. Me, I'm the main chick. We'll marry like that. The guy loves me. That's not love. Love is faithful. How do I know? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The God kind of love. God is love. 1 John 4 verse 8 says God is love. So it means that if you're looking for the definition of love, if you're looking for the character of love, you have to look at God. And then I thank God for 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4. He described love. He says love suffered long. Love is kind. Charity. That's love. Love is kind. Love suffers long. Love is patient. He says love is patient. Some guys cannot even wait for two weeks without having sex. They are like, no. We must have the sex. And the guy says, I love you. Hear this. Any man that cannot wait for sex in marriage does not love you. He only has lust for you. He only has romantic, eros love for you. He doesn't truly love you. The God kind of love can wait. So you need to know God as love. You need to know, when you know God as love, it's all those ones you're calling specs, all those specs, eh? Your spec will move from being carnal specs to word kind of specs. So, any guy that cannot wait for sex in marriage is off your list. You're not even considering him. Any guy that cannot, you know, that cannot love you, treat you with respect and dignity. I mean, when I began to know God as love, when I began to know God intimately, He changed my life. He changed the kind of guys I used to relate with. Before, I relate with different kind of guys. You know, I remember when I started, you know, knowing God for myself, before, guys can just come and tap me in the bum, you know, hold me anywhere, hug me, you know, in my department. But when I started knowing God as love, one guy came to me, I was like, hello, excuse me. You can't touch me anyhow. Because I know how God values me. I started seeing how God loves me. The Bible says He has written my name in the palm of His hands. Like, I started seeing how the Creator of the world adores me. So I moved from this girl that wants to not be chasing after guys. Guys must love me. I must gain your attention. I began to see myself as someone that The guy must adore me. I may not be the most beautiful girl in Nigeria, but the guy that God will have he must adore me. Like, my husband adores me. Why? Because I saw how valuable I was with God. I knew, as in, hey, God, oh. Like, I saw how God treats me. Even when I mess up, I see how He tells me, Doreen, I love you. You just messed up. Because then I had a lot of, you know, addiction, masturbation, and all of that. I saw how God helped me, was patient with me to recover from all of these things. You know, and I saw that He wasn't shouting at me, spanking me, or raising. So any guy that wants to be raising voice at me, we cannot be together. We cannot be together. We cannot. Because the God that I serve, the God that I call Father, He adores me. He loves me. So any guy that cannot, you know, bring the standard of God's love my way, he's out of it. People say, I've done 30 and you're enjoying your marriage and, you know, your husband adores you. It's because I knew God as love. So I could not have married anybody that cannot love me like God loves me. It's not possible. How will a man be beating you? How? And you're in a relationship with the guy, he's beating you. Not like, you know, maybe mistake happened in marriage and the guy raised his hand at you, you know, and then he says he's sorry, because of course some marriages are like that, you know, and all of that. The guy just needs to, you know, work on himself and all of that. But you're in a relationship, the guy is abusing you, he's beating you, he's cheating on you, he's doing all the bad things to you, and you're like, this guy you'll marry, hello, you don't know God. You don't know God as love. When you know God as love, you will know the kind of man to marry. Shanda Balabadiada. You will know the kind of man to marry. See, God, the Bible says that we have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. God has forgiven us. See, I don't know whatever it is you've gone through. You know, see, I want you to know that God loves you. He likes you. So any guy that you have to have sex with before he can love you. See, the Bible says even when we were in sin, God loved us. We didn't do anything. All we had to do is to believe in Jesus. We didn't have to kill ourselves. Some guys want to kill yourself so they can love you. if you don't give me sex, I'm not going to, you know, take care of you. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, no. Amen. You need to know God as love. You need to also know God as Father. Oh, glory to God. You need to know God as Father. Amen. When you know God as Father, it will help you know the kind of man to marry. Please post 1 John 3:1. You need to know God as Father. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. It says, God has bestowed so much love upon us. Even the writer, by the Spirit of God, didn't even know what, say, what manner. It is too much. You are the apple of his eye. He has crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercy. You are his beloved. He has accepted you in the beloved. God loves you. You need to know. If you don't know God as Father, if you don't know him as, you know, let me just say this. It is in knowing God as Father that you can easily discern the Son that he has for you. It's the truth. It's in knowing God as Father that you can easily discern the Son he has for you. If you don't know God as Abba, if you don't know him as Father, if you don't know his love, you will not be able to discern the Son he has for you. Because the truth is, the Son, the guy may not even have all the money now, you know, and they may not have everything, you know, in terms of physical, you know, material things. And then God is leading you to this guy. But if you don't know God as love, God as Father, you don't be like, who is this guy? I beg, Jerry. It doesn't look like it. You will easily miss it. Just the same way, you know, the Pharisees, they missed Jesus. They didn't believe it was Jesus. They felt the guy was claiming too much. Hallelujah. When you know God as Father, when you know him as love, you'll be able to trust that if it's this guy that doesn't have so much money that God is leading me to right now, God is my Father. A father cannot, you know, bring me to shame and put me to shame with a man that will make me suffer. I believe that God has a plan here, and I'm going to follow it through. Amen. So you need to know God as love. You need to know God as Father. You need to know God for yourself. Don't settle for anybody. If you don't know God, if you don't know who God is, you will settle for anybody. The guy is abusing you, beating you. You have aborted for him several times, and you say the guy loves you. What? That's not love. That's not love. See verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not seek our own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. The guy says you should go and abort. That's evil. And you say the guy loves you. Ah, no. He doesn't love you. That's not God. That's not who God would have you marry. When you know God as love, you will know the man that God will have you marry. You will know the man that God will have you marry. If you're listening to me right now and, you know, you're not yet born again. You're not yet born again. You don't know God. Like, you don't even know him as Father. You're not his child. You're not his child. You know, I mean, you can't continue living like this. It's in Christ Jesus that we know who we truly are. It's in Christ Jesus. You cannot know. And the thing is, the man that God would have for you is in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ that we have our completeness. It's in Christ that we have our essence. A man is not your essence. God is your essence. It's in Christ that you find your purpose. And in that purpose, there is a man for you. There is a man who together, both of you will labor together. And there will be a reward for your labor. Every man is not your husband. Stop jumping around. It's time to quit that ungodly relationship. It's time to say yes to Jesus. It's time to say yes to his love. I'm speaking to you, daughter, God loves you. He's saying if you will quit that relationship and fellowship with me, quit that ungodly relationship and learn of me and love me, I'll bring the man to you. Oh, Subragadaba, and if you're listening to me and you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you want to walk with Jesus, you want to have a relationship with him, I want you to just say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word today. I want to walk with you. I need you in my life. I need you, Lord. I confess you today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess you today as my Lord and Savior. Come and be the Lord of my life. Come and live in my heart. I want to walk with you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And for those of you, you need to break free from a relationship. You know, you need to break away from an ungodly relationship. We've been struggling. I would love to pray with you. I would love to pray for strength. Strength for you. Oh, Father, Lord, I pray for strength. That you strengthen your daughters to make the right decisions with so much joy. You know, God gave me strength several years ago to break away from those relationships. I felt a burden lift out of me. You know what Kenny said is so true. There was this burden that was lifted off my heart, and I began to rejoice. Something I could not do for nights. I knew the right thing to do, but I could not do it. But when God, you know, gave me strength, you know, a pastor prayed strength for me. I had the strength to do it. So I pray strength for you tonight, that you are strengthened by the Holy Spirit to break away from that ungodly relationship, to seek the right path and to make the right decision. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabba Katala Bada Bada Bado, Shana Mande Godo Bohosa. Oh, Zikati Bani Gedusha Lamahande. You know, I just want us to desire more of God, more of his love in our life, more of his love in our life. See, before you can, you know, be in love with a man, you need to be in love with God first. You need to seek him first. You need to be in love with him. Amen. You need to love him first. You need to let his love overwhelm you. Kabali katoza la bahandi. Are there ladies here tonight? You want the love of God to overwhelm you. You want to know God as love. You want to walk in his love. Masuka paliga debe debe dosha. Can I see you wave your hands? Kabaliga da balabalabaha. Robogodoboho shanda balabaha. You want to know God as love. Masuka pandiga dosha. I want you to desire him to open your heart. I want you to open your heart and say, God, I want to know you as love. I want to know you as love. I want to know you as love. Come on, come on. Makuzalaba andi. Talk to your father. Say, I want to know you as love. I want to walk with you. Masuka. Kabandi gedu salabaha rege dege dege de o sudabande I katuna mande. I want to know you as love. Magadu zegede ilama shande rege dege dosha. Take over my heart. Managadosha. Come on, let's unmute our mics. I want us to pray. Masugadi balagi dabaha robo shande. Take over my heart. I have been seeking after guys. I have not been seeking after you. Tonight I repent. Tonight I repent. I want to walk with you, God. I want you to know me. I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. Oh, Salamanda Balabadabaha. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. You know, I persist so strongly in my heart, and I want to say this. So many of you listening to me, you have been, the love of God, the love that God has for you has been hanging. Like, you've not reached out to it. You've been loving different guys, but you've not paid attention to receiving the love of God, to receiving his love. Tonight, I just want you, if you're that person, just, you know, you can mute your mic and just, you know, talk to God and say, Father, I open my heart to your love today. I open my heart to receiving your love. I open my heart to receiving your love. God wants you to love him. You have, I can see, like, it's like a bulb just, you know, dropping, and you've just been doing everything, don't dropping around, but you've not been paying attention to that love. We love him because he first loved us. God's love has been waiting for you. Has been waiting for you to receive him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Father, Lord, we open our heart to receive your love tonight. We open our heart to receive your love today. Oh, Sugadabahande. We pay attention to your love. We pay attention to your love. Oh, Kalabahande. Yeah, God says he's our lover. He says he's our number one lover. He says nobody can love us like he loves us. He says that vacuum in your heart, he says he's the only one that can feel it. He's the only one that can feel it. His love is what can feel it. You have been trying to use different guys to fill that vacuum. God says he's the only one that can feel it. We receive your love tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We receive your love tonight. Oh, Sukadabahandi Baladosh. Over to you, Kenny. Over to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Wow, Timmy. Like, thank God. Thank God. You know, guys, I know that we are far, the time is far spent. I really know. But I just wanted God to have his way without me constraining him, okay? So I know that there might just be some people who need to leave and do something. Please, that's totally fine. You can go. I trust that God has had his way in your life. But, you know, I just really sense that God is touching lives tonight and he's, you know, breaking just strongholds, mindset that are not confined to his word. I just really, really see God doing that. And I trust that, you know, all of you have been blessed tonight. So because of time, I know all of you, if not most of you, if not all of you, have access to me. If you have any other questions that you want to ask TMA, right, just let me know. But just, is there anyone who has maybe any questions, like right now, that it's burning in your heart that you would like for, you know, TMA to answer? Is there anyone? Please, just let me know. Any question? Can I take that as a no?
No questions right now.
Okay, thank you. If you have any question at any time, please just let me know. Like, I know how to reach out to TME. I said, TME. But then, a part of what TME has said today is that we can also have access to the Holy Spirit and ask him these questions ourselves, right? So we can ask him. TME, just please, guys, I promise I'll be out of here before 15 minutes past 6 EST my time. Promise, just give me like 7 more minutes. But TMA, I just have one question that I would, you know, that I have and that I would like for you to answer, right? There are some people, right, who we can think that, oh, but they did not really ask God. They did not ask God about who to marry. They didn't have to pray about it. But, you know, we think they are having a happy marriage. How do you address that, Ma, please? Tammy, are you there? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Tammy.
Okay, people wouldn't ask God.
Mm-hmm. Like, who do you
in a specific?
Yeah, but we think, oh, but they have a happy marriage, so why do I have to ask God, right?
Why do you have to ask God, right? Okay, now, I mean, it's very simple. Remember I said to us that marriage is for what? It's for purpose. Now, some people right now, they are just, you know, living in a marriage that is not fulfilling any purpose. But they have learned, you know, to be happy.
Yes.
Now, there's a difference between happiness and joy.
Yes.
you get?
Mm.
It's a different. Happiness is to have, you know, the man loves you, he likes you. Romeo and Juliet's love. People have money in the bank account. People have kids. People are fine. Happiness, you know, there's everything happiness. But is that marriage, you know, giving you guys joy? See, okay, for instance, this, I heard of a very rich man that, you know, he was so rich. But on his dying bed, he said, although he has all the money in the world, but there was this vacuum in his heart that money could not fill. And that vacuum was living a life of purpose. So what he did was, I think he gave his wealth to NGO or something. Now, some marriages, some people, they've learned to, you know, see, meet psychologists, everybody's fine, you know, shrink. They've gone for several counsels and all of that, and they've learned to live well. But that marriage, is it fulfilling what would have them do? Are they in a purposeful marriage? If you're, for you to know, for you asking God who to marry, is because you want to be in a purposeful marriage. It's not just, you know, let's get married. We saw that two is better than one. We saw that Eve came about because God wanted to give Adam a helpmeet. Helpmeet for what? Help me to help keep and tend the garden. Of course, you know, to be a wife, to help him emotionally, sexually, give birth and all of that. But primarily, there was a purpose. So to ask God for who to marry, letting God lead you, is to the end that you live, you have a purposeful marriage, a marriage that is dealing with the kingdom of darkness, you know, disrupting the enemy here on earth. I love one kingdom couple, Aquila and Priscilla, in the Bible. Those people, they were married, but their marriage was not just marriage for marriage. They helped and assisted the ministry of Paul. That's what we're talking about. Ananias and Sapphira that died. That was a, you know, they were meant to be kingdom, you know, couples that give towards the gospel. But it's just that the enemy lied to them and then, you know, entered into their heart and then they started to lie about money and all of that. So allowing God lead you, you know, why you need to pray about it is because you want to be in a marriage that will fulfill purpose. Now, when you're in a marriage that fulfills purpose, let me just, there are so many things to say. When you're in a marriage that fulfills purpose, let me tell you, divorce will not come to your mind. This one that people are just divorcing. Because if they are happy, one day they'll be unhappy. And they will say, Abel, let's divorce. But see, when you're in a marriage that people have an assignment, people will find out how to make that marriage work. Because you know that beyond both of you, there are lives and destinies attached to your marriage. Do you understand? My husband and I, we wake up every morning. We there's nothing like we can't walk. We walk. Because the lives attached to this marriage, the souls that this marriage will bless. Do you understand? That there's some of you listening to me, you and your husband are forces in the kingdom of God that both of you would give and partner to, you know, in the gospel, to the preaching of the gospel, give towards it, you know, cause the gospel of the gospel to spread. The Bible says that through prosperity shall my kingdom be spread abroad. But if you are married to somebody who is now against giving to the gospel, how will you fulfill purpose? How? Do you understand? So that's why you must pray about it. And yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. Some people say they are in a happy marriage. But the marriage is not fulfilling purpose. It's not fulfilling purpose together. And both of them individually, they are not fulfilling purpose. They are just living. They're just existing. You want to tell me that somebody like Beyonce, she's fulfilling purpose? It's a lie. Is she not happy? She's happy. She's not fulfilling any purpose. She's not fulfilling a God-given purpose. She's fulfilling some purpose she crafted for herself. But not God's purpose.
But she's happy with baby Ivy, Abby Blue Ivy, and another. They are happy. You see them on social, on red carpet, all of them. They say they are happy. But are they fulfilling God's plan for their life? No. That's why we must pray. That's why we must be led. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wow. TMA, thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you. Guys, I'll just say this because I know some of you might have questions and I'm very conscious of time. I'm going to, if you need TMA's number, please just let me know. At TMA, that's our ministry. That's what God has blessed us with, for making ladies, single ladies, achieve purpose and, you know, enjoy their God-given marriage. So please just let me know. I'm going to send you a number. You can reach out to her and have her coach you. Okay, so I also put the book, Before You Say Yes, I put the link in the chat box. It would answer a lot of questions. It's on Amazon now, I think, for $10. It's not expensive. It's on Amazon for $10. So you can also buy the book and read it, like, and pray, ask Holy Spirit to help you when you're reading it, so that we're not just taking things we want instead of taking things God will have us take out of it. So lastly, you know, I know that we've all been blessed by, you know, by God just speaking through TME today, right? And I'm just, you know, we're not going to enforce this on anybody, but if you like to give at all to TME, please, I'm going to put my PayPal account in the chat box. You can just send me anything in your heart, anything in your heart. Again, this is not something we are just saying you have to do. It's, if it's in your heart to do it, please. You can just send me a message. All of you, I think everybody pretty much has my number, or send it to a PayPal account. Again, TME, I want to say thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. God bless you, Ma, you know, for allowing God to use you to bless us today. Thank you so much, Ma. Oh, okay. I thought you said something, Ma. Miss Favor, okay. Thank you so much. Like, God honor you. You've been amazing. Thank you so much, Ma. Thank you. Dana, Ola, Kira, Fentolu, everybody who has stayed here and those who have gone because of time, again, I understand. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. God bless.
Thank you so much, everyone. Our wonderful host said, because I'd love to connect with you guys. My WhatsApp is not on at the moment, but my Telegram is on, so you can send me a message on Telegram. If you save my number, you can send me a message on Telegram. Yes, so I'd love to connect with you guys. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you, Kenny.
Thank you, Mom.
This is your fact sheet. You will not tell us what you're eating.
I'm eating all the burger in the world and all the ice cream in the world right now. It's my time to...
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone, you're free to go now. Again, please just let me know if you have any question. Please just chat me. Or chat me stable. Thank you, TMA.
Yeah, God bless you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you can follow me on social media as well. On Instagram.
I'll put your Instagram handle. I have their number, so I can always send it to everyone too.
Thank you so much. God bless
you. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah.